cross. Just come up to the communion rail and your throats will be blessed. That probably won't happen in other parishes, so this is another reason to come to our Mass this Sunday. Okay, you'll get the blessing of the throats. I'll be doing it after the 7:30, after the 9, after the 10:30. Okay. Abigail, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
And Ada, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
And Eleanor?
Yes, Father Francis.
Okay, I think I got it. Here we go. Anyone else who did not get called? Okay. We're missing the Bears and Adriel, Noah. That's it. All right, we're going to stand and pray for the Pope's intention. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for Pope Francis' intention for this month of February, that those who have material, political, or spiritual power may resist any lure of corruption. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Are these on? Are these on?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the Pope has talked about this. In fact, in that document on mercy, bull that came out in 2015, he talks about corruption and those who are involved with it to stop it, you know, cease the work of corruption. Christopher, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Okay, tell me what you learned from today's class, Mara. I got that wrong. Bethany.
Okay. That you need contrition for being transition if you want to transition. If you don't put sorrow for your sins, you don't get your sins
Do you know what contrition is? Ada.
Is it being sorry for your sins, not wanting to sin again, and to test your sins?
To be sorry, to detest your sins, and
to not want to sin again?
That's it. You got it. Okay. Yeah. Those are the three parts of contrition. And you only get that in the old act of contrition. Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry. I detest all my sins. I firmly resolve not to sin again. All the other acts of contrition leave out one or two of those. Okay. They all say, you know, I'm sorry. Usually they'll say, I promise not to sin again, something like that. But none of them say anything about detesting sin, hating the sin. None of them, except the old one. Okay, so that's a real act of contrition. That's the only complete one. That's the only one that measures up to contrition. All right. Okay, good. What else did you learn, Diego?
I learned that God loves me even though, even if you're in heaven, purgatory, or hell, his love is unconditional.
Very good. Good. Isn't that amazing? He still loves people in God. That's the kind of God he is. Huh? It's mind-boggling, okay? What else did you learn, Mary Ann?
I learned that when Jesus died on the cross, he looked at us and forgave us, and he loves us no matter what, even if we're in heaven, hell, or purgatory.
Okay, so, yeah, okay, so he forgives us unconditionally, right? Meaning that he just keeps on loving us. You were forgiven before you came to confession, right? Okay? You're not coming to confession to be forgiven. You're coming to confession to have your sins forgiven, your sins taken away. And that's what's conditional, right? If you are contrite, your sins are taken away. But whether you're contrite or not, God forgives you. He keeps on loving you. Okay. Most people don't know that distinction. It's not clear in their minds the difference between forgiving the person and forgiving the sin. It wasn't clear in my mind for a long, long time. Okay? What else? I like this front row here. I'm going to stick with this front row. Okay, now Mara. You had your hand up?
Yes?
Okay, I want to hear it.
If you sin, you have to go to... If you sin, if you go to heaven or hell, then God will love you even if you go to heaven or hell.
That's right. Good. Good. And then Eleanor.
I learned that God keeps loving you if you go to hell, purgatory, or heaven. Mm-hmm. And if you want your sins taken away, you have to have a contrite spirit.
Perfect. Liliana.
Oh, she forgot, but this is what she was going to say. She was going to say that Pope Francis said that forgiveness was a spiritual work.
Okay. So you remember two things, huh? Good. Claire.
Interiorly, you always have to keep loving and forgiving the person, no matter if they change or not. But externally, it may be conditional.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm still working on that one. I'm still trying to get that clear in my mind. Okay, one or two in the back. Just raise your hand if you want to... Only the S's, huh? I thought I saw some other hands in the back, but I guess not. I must be seeing things. Joseph, what did you learn?
I learned about the Greek, Hebrew, German, and English words for forgiveness. All have two understandings.
Yes?
And one is to give and to take away. And one example of this is that how Jesus forgave us. His life was taken away when he gave us into finding.
He merited sanctifying grace.
And another example is that in confession, our sins are taken away, but you get sanctified.
You what?
You get sanctified grace.
Oh! Wait. So you were talking about the two meanings of forgiveness in those languages, and the first meaning is what? Those are the two meanings, right? So to give, like give grace, and to take away sin, right? Okay. Okay, and Teresa.
I learned that one way to define something is by defining being a specific difference.
You understand this? Wow.
For example, if like you wanted to define forgiveness, it's being to be mercy, and uh-huh. It's specific difference would be towards the one who hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Does that work for defining man?
Yes.
What would be the definition of man that way?
Well, if you put it into a genus, you could say that it's kind of like an animal. Uh-huh. But that it's different from other animals because they have, if you will, and like common sense. And, like, so that
the rational.
The rational, yeah.
A rational animal.
So yeah, the definition would be a rational.
Mm-hmm. Smart. Okay, I'm happy. Today's class. We, you and I, want to answer the question, why should I forgive? Okay? Why should I? What good will come out of it? And then the next question will be, why people don't forgive? Okay? Reasons why, the excuses or reasons why we don't forgive. Okay? Okay, give me a reason why we should forgive. Why should we forgive? That's my first answer. Yes. Were you looking at the boards? No. She can read minds. Oh my goodness. And you got some more answers? Okay. Wow. Okay. Why forgive? Jesus taught us how to pray, and he said, when you pray, pray like so. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So what we're saying, Lord, forgive us as I want you to forgive me the way I forgive others. So we're putting a condition on God. Okay? Forgive me the way I forgive others. So if I want to be forgiven by God, I have to forgive, right? Very good answer. And that's straight from Jesus. Can't go wrong that way. Okay, what's another reason to forgive, Mara?
It's good to forgive so people won't get mad.
So people won't get mad at you. That's true. That's another answer I have. It'll make it easy. If you forgive others, it's going to make it easier for them to forgive you. And it's going to make it easier for them to be contrite. Okay? But if you don't forgive, if you're like so, no, I'm not going to forgive you for what you did, it's going to be less likely that they're going to forgive you. And it's going to be less likely that they're going to be sorry for what they did. Less likely that they'll detest your sin, less likely that they'll resolve not to sin again. You're going to make it harder for them to do that. Okay? Okay, this is smart. I see some new faces here. Paloma, did you do the homework?
Yes,
and Marcelino?
Yes, Father Francis.
How about for last week's? No. And Noah, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
How about for last week? And what about your test?
I was going to ask, can I do it Saturday? Are you available Saturday?
Saturday, I won't be here a good part of the day because I told the class I'm going to Convena to do a gravesite rite.
Sunday
is crazy. We'll talk about it after class, okay? Adriel, did you do the homework? Okay, so come see me right after class. Come right up here. Did you do the homework for the week before? No? Okay, all right, good. Could you move, Adriel, move down? There's still some one or two empty places. No, well, okay. Where are you going? Because there was a place right there. Right there. See, otherwise, if you sat where you were seated, I wouldn't be able to see you well. I just see half of you. I don't want to see half of you. I want to see the whole. Anyone else? It'll eat you up like a cancer. It'll eat you up spiritually. It'll damage you spiritually. It'll damage you psychologically. It will damage you physically. This is happening. People are going to hospitals with all kinds of different ailments, and doctors can't figure out what's wrong. You know, they try this chemical, these pills, this shot, and it's not working. That's because the problem isn't physical. The problem is a lack of forgiveness. Okay? It will damage you. Okay, this is one of the, I'll talk about this later, maybe, if I have time. But this is one of the errors people have why they don't forgive. I'm not going to forgive so I'm protected. I won't get hurt again. Okay? It's seen as a defense mechanism. All right? I'm going to protect myself. You know, it's like I got my sword in both hands, two swords, and I'm going to make sure I'm not hurt again. The thing is, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. The sword will turn in on you and hurt you. Okay? This is one of the errors. It's a terrible error that some people have. Okay, they've been badly hurt. They don't want to be hurt again. That's understandable. You do want to protect yourself. But not forgiving is not the answer. Stay away from the person. That's protecting yourself. That's smart. Okay? But we must keep loving that person. Otherwise, we hurt ourselves. All right, so we got, three good answers so far, at least.
If you don't forgive, they're going to hurt you back. Because you're not... Because
that could happen, too. They might... Some people will do this, you know. We're all weak. They may try to get revenge. Okay, you're not going to forgive me. I'll get you back for it. All right? Now, we're not supposed to do that. God said no revenge. Justice, yes, but not revenge. We have to be clear what the difference is. Okay? Justice is a virtue. Revenge, that's for God. Revenge is mine, says the Lord. Not for us. Sometimes we try to play God. We think we know better than God. That's a mistake. We'll just have to find out the hard way that's a mistake. Any other reasons why we should forgive? Okay, you both have given an answer already. Anybody else? Anybody else? Paul.
Because it might teach that I need to forgive others who did that wrong.
You're a good example. You help to teach others how to forgive. It needs to be taught. It doesn't come automatically. You're not just born with this knowledge of forgiveness? It has to be learned. We learn from others. We learn from what they say, but we also learn from what others do or don't do. Okay. Sometimes we need to relearn because we learned wrong. We didn't actually learn. Okay. So we have to kind of like unlearn in order to learn the right way. Yeah, so it's a way of teaching. Okay, these are really good answers. Any other answers? Okay, Mara?
Also, because when Jesus said, "If you love others as you would have them do to you," if you forgive someone, you would want them to forgive you if you hurt them.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is what you want others to do to you. You want them to forgive you, to keep loving you. So that's how you and I should be towards others. Mara.
You can love God.
You can what?
You can love God.
You can something God.
You can love God.
Hurt God?
Yeah,
it's being part of the crucifixion. It's being part of putting Jesus to death. Okay, it's part of breaking his heart. It's not just that one day that he was hurt, you know, Good Friday, but it's 33 years on earth having a broken heart. 33 years of walking the earth and knowing the sins of the world. Knowing who did this, who would do that. And it hurts him more than anybody else because he loves more than anybody else. So it's part of the sorrow he went through. It's participating in the, by the way, Alma, congratulations. I am very happy. Very happy. Congratulations. It's being part of him having, you know, a sorrowful heart for 33 years. Okay, these are really good answers. Any other answers?
Anybody.
Also, when there's someone else, it's almost like you let go of the hate that you have inside of you, that you'll possibly act out with someone else. Like, if you have this hate in you, that sometimes you can act out and have hate on someone else that doesn't deserve
it. Yeah, it makes you more sociably lovable, right? Because if you carry this around, this sinful anger, sinful hatred, or whatever else is sinful in there, it's going to be felt by others. And you're going to be less sociably desirable. People will be more likely to stay away from you. Okay, but the more we forgive, the more lovable we are. The more people will want to be around us. The easier it will be to have friends. Okay. Good, healthy friends. I am really pleased. Any other reasons why we should forgive? Okay, we're ready for the first board.
The big board.
Okay, you got most of the answers. And I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I'm going to give you 12, a dozen. There's more than that, I'm sure. There's like a few reasons contained in some of these. Okay, so I underlined key words, huh? If I had time, I would. Okay, if you're going to be writing this down, one possibility is to exchange number 4 with number 9. Put number 9 up here with in place of number 4, and put this down here. And then we'll keep God, Jesus, Christian, heaven, saint all together. It's something specifically Christian. And then the others, you don't have to be Christian. You can be an atheist. Okay, whether you believe in God or not, or Jesus, or you could care less about Christianity, you're not into heaven, you're not into being a saint, there's still all these other reasons to forgive. Alright. So that's a way of dividing them. I only thought of that after I put this on the board. Okay, why should we forgive? Because, gave that first answer. You did, Mari. You gave this answer right here. So God will forgive our sins. That's who we are, Father. O-F. Number two, to better know, love, and imitate Jesus. Imitate His forgiveness. Jesus says, forgive us. Okay? To better know, not just academically, you know, like being here in class, not just an academic knowledge, although that's important. Okay, it's not to be underestimated. We want to think clearly instead of foggy, confused. But to know Jesus also in the Jewish understanding of knowing, having a personal relationship with Him, knowing Him as a person, talking to Him as a person, knowing Him forgiving as a person, and working through forgiving others with His help, you know. And to love Him as one who forgives, and to imitate Him, to be like Jesus. That's how Jesus would forgive, the way that person right there is doing it. To better live up to the name Christian. We're called Christian. Some people think just by being baptized, that's enough. But you got to live it. And it's not just going to Mass every Sunday. That's good too. But to be virtuous, to grow in virtue and holiness. So that includes forgiving. You can't call yourself Christian if you're not forgiving. You're not measuring up to what it means to be Christian. Okay, this is like two answers, huh? To get to heaven, to become a saint. You're so close that I put them together. To be a saint. Remember I gave you three understandings of being a saint? Being a saint in heaven, being a saint on earth. When St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he calls them saints. But they're on earth. Why does he see them as saints? They have grace. They are grace-filled. Sanctifying grace. The grace that makes you holy, that makes you a saint. Here on earth. Okay? So that's one understanding of saint. And then being a saint in heaven, there's two understandings. Being a canonized saint, there's hundreds of those. We took a look at that when we had a year on the saints. The martyrology has like a dozen names of canonized saints every day of the year. They may not be on the universal calendar, okay, but they're still canonized saints. But then there's other saints in heaven that are not canonized. They're in heaven. We don't know for sure they're in heaven. Maybe some relative of yours who died. Okay? That could be a saint. but not canonize. So that's three meanings of saints. Canonize, non-canonize, and then the saints on earth. Now this is the final goal for us to get to heaven, to be with God, the Trinity, the saints, Our Lady, to be with God's friends forever and ever. Now we also gave this answer in class, not to help others forgive, to help others to be contrite. By forgiving others, it knocks down the wall and it makes it safe for them to admit that they were wrong. To apologize, to become more and more sorrowful for what they did. To acquire the habit of forgiveness. You don't just become a forgiving person by doing it once. A habit is something you do over and over and over until it's like second nature. Okay, good habits, bad habits, what they all have in common is that it's easy to do. You can do it quickly. And in the case of a good habit, it's actually enjoyable. Okay. So to have the habit, the good habit, the virtue of forgiveness. Okay. And once you have the habit, the more you have the habit, the easier it gets. It's like playing an instrument. When you're first playing an instrument, it's hard. It's quite a struggle. All right? It's so difficult. But the more you play it, the same as a sport, huh? The more you practice, the better you get, the easier it gets until, you know, you can play an instrument without really thinking about it. You can play the sport without really thinking much about it. You just do it. Okay, that's the same with forgiveness. To be more lovable socially, you don't have to be an atheist to want this. I mean, you don't have to be a Christian. You could be an atheist and still want this, to heal. Now, this implies that there is a wound, okay, where healing needs to take place. There is a wound. Now, there's two kinds of wounds, and we know this from the Bible. There is the wounds Jesus had on his body, and that was symbolic of the wounds in his heart. Because he loved perfectly, those were healthy wounds in his heart. A healthy wound, there is no pus, you know, inner pus, a disease, something that would eat away psychologically, like physically, huh? You could have a physical wound, and if you don't take care, if you don't clean it, you don't put medicine on it, it's going to get all pussy, disease, and you may have to amputate that whole area, cut it all off. Okay, it just gets worse and worse. That's an unhealthy wound. That's a diseased wound. That's what's talked about in Psalm 51. My wounds are foul and festering because of my sins. Okay? You don't want to have that kind of wound. If you do, boy, do you need healing. Okay? If you have psychological wounds, or, let's just say psychological wounds, that's okay if you respond with love. But if you don't, then it's going to mess you up emotionally and mentally. Okay? It'll be worse than a physical wound that gets all pussy and diseased. It'll be worse than that. Okay? So it's good to have the wounds Jesus had, because those are healthy wounds. But you don't want to have the wounds like is mentioned in Psalm 51, which are unhealthy, toxic, diseased. Okay. So to heal, in some cases that means healing physically or psychologically or spiritually. Okay, if these are infected wounds. Now, what's the difference between this and this? To have the good habit of forgiveness, that's virtue. So, why say it again? What's the difference between 5 and 8?
On 8 to grow, and then on 5.
This is the key word right here, to grow in what?
The virtue.
Justice. To grow in virtue in general, all the virtues. See, this is just the virtue of forgiveness. But when you grow in one virtue, it affects the others. It helps you to grow in other virtues. Okay, so you're forgiving someone, well, that's part of mercy. So that's another virtue. You're forgiving. You're growing in forgiveness, and so automatically you're growing in mercy. Okay? Now, at times, it takes patience to be merciful. That's a virtue too. So by forgiving, you're also growing in patience. When you're calling on God to help you to be merciful, to be forgiving, you're growing in faith. You want this person to be lifted up, to overcome their sin, to get out of their misery. You're hoping this will happen. You're praying to God that this person will have their misery taken away. You're growing in hope. You're growing in supernatural hope. You're growing in love, supernatural love. You're growing in compassion. That's not a virtue, but you're growing in kindness. Okay, you're growing in lots of virtues. You don't have one virtue without having them all. They're just so interrelated. You can't have mercy without justice. You can't have justice without mercy. If you have one, you have the other. If you don't have one, you don't have the other. Okay, they're so interconnected. Okay, you could be an atheist, and this would have a lot of meaning for you. Huh? Some of them are into conscious. You want to have a clear conscience. If you forgive, you have a clear conscience, as opposed to a wet conscience. There, Anne. That would be the opposite of clear, huh? How about a clean conscience? What would be the opposite of that? A guilty conscience. Huh? People who have a guilty conscience that could be good or bad. When we've done wrong, we should feel guilt. That's healthy. I did wrong. I feel bad. Okay, that's guilt. But if we don't do anything to make it right, we deny it, we don't apologize, we're not sorry. Have you noticed some people just aren't sorry for what they did? It's like, oh well, I had a bad day. You know, they just slough it off. Okay. There's still guilt there. They may not act like they're guilty, but that's still pricking their conscience. It's still bothering them. And it's going to keep bothering them until they make it right. It's like you just keep getting prodded, poked. That gets annoying, doesn't it? If someone keeps poking you over and over in class, that's going to bother you, right? Well, that's what a guilty conscience will do if you don't forgive. Now, you can just keep ignoring it, pushing it away. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to deal with it. Just go away, go away. You can try to suppress it, keep it down, keep it out, kick it out. What could happen is that finally you deaden your conscience. It stops poking you. It's like you have a dead conscience. This happens to psychopaths. Their conscience is dead. They don't hear God's voice speaking inside of them about what's right and what's wrong. They've killed this inner law that they were born with. Okay? They've blocked out God's law so much that they're blind to it. They don't hear it, they don't see it. Okay, they're deaf, they're blind. It's like they don't have a conscience.
Can that be reversed?
Yeah. It's gonna be very hard. I mean, if you have a dead conscience, it's gonna be very hard to reverse that. Okay, maybe it's not quite dead. Okay. But you can sleep better at night if your conscience is clear, clean. Yes, we should be more and more sorry for our sins as we grow in holiness. This is what the saints did. But it's not a a kind of guilt that eats us up. It's not an unhealthy guilt, it's a healthy guilt. A guilt we should have when we sin, but we're trying to overcome the sin. We're trying to do better. We're trying to be saints. Okay? St. Paul had a clear conscience, so it didn't bother him when other people were making bad judgments about him, misjudging him, making rash judgments, harsh judgments about him, judgments not looking, not seeing the facts, not understanding. It didn't bother him because he had a clear conscience. Okay. And in number 11, this is the big word for our society. Every atheist, every non-believer, they're into freedom. Okay, freedom would probably be on the top of the list for atheists, non-religious people. You can reach them here. Just by forgiving, you'll be a free person. Better to be in prison and forgive than not in prison, but you're enslaved to your sin. Better to be in prison for life, never outside the prison, maybe for 20, 30, 40 years, but you have an inner freedom. Maybe it took some years to get there, huh? Than to not be in prison, but to be a slave of sin. Have the bad habit of not forgiving. You just get more and more enslaved, more and more in prison. Okay. So this is huge for our society, our culture. We're very much into freedom. Forgiving keeps you free, makes you free. How do you become free? Love, for sure. Love is the answer for healing and for freedom, but also for truth. Okay, in Wisdom chapter 16, I'll give you the actual quote. Wisdom chapter 16, verses 10 to 12. Here it is. Love and truth heals all things. That's the best medicine. Okay, love and truth. Well, Jesus said the truth will make you free. Okay, love too. I mean, you need to have love in order to forgive. Okay, that will set you free. Number 12, our last one. To be more grace-filled. To be more alive. Grace is God's life. The less grace you have, the less life you have. Okay, you become more and more dead. Okay, any questions here? Why don't people forgive? If you got all these good reasons to forgive, how come people don't do it? Number one, ignorance. They don't know these reasons. They don't know what forgiveness is. They don't know how to forgive. That's what we're working on this semester. The first part of this semester knowing what forgiveness is, and then the second half, how to do it, how to forgive. Most people will never get this. You know, a formal course on forgiveness. They may hear a few things in class, you know, somewhere down the line, but not like what you're getting, okay? They're ignorant about forgiveness and how to forgive. Or, like I said, they're an heir. Remember I gave you the one heir? If I forgive, I'm not going to be protected. I'm going to be hurt again and again and again. So I'm not going to forgive, and this will protect me. It'll keep me from being hurt. Okay? I'll just fall apart. I'll be all depressed and be on strong medication the rest of my life. Unless I protect myself. That's their thinking. This is the air, huh? Okay, that may seem like the right thing initially when you're in shock, when you've been badly hurt, you're in shock, okay? You want to protect yourself, but that's not the answer. You have to forgive, okay? Otherwise, it's going to eat you up, okay? The way you protect yourself is to stay away from that person. Get new locks for your door, your house, you know. Change the locks. Call the police. Have a restraining order. That's how you protect yourself, okay? But you must forgive. I think I had some other errors. Oh yeah, we had this the first semester. Some people see forgiveness as a weakness. It's being a coward. Okay, it's unmanly to be merciful, to forgive. Okay, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to fight back. I'm going to punch back. Virtue comes from the Latin word vir. It means man. To be a man, you got to be virtuous. It's not just something physical. It's not an age you become, like 21 or whatever. Okay? It's being virtuous. Being a virtuous. Same with a woman. Okay? What makes a person a woman is being virtuous. That's the true man, the true woman, being a virtuous man, a virtuous woman. That's truly being a man, being a woman. Okay, don't fall into this error. You hear this all the time. Oh, they make a mistake, they sin, they have an error, and they say, well, I'm just human. That's less than human. That's to sin is being lower than the animals. Okay? The more you sin, the less human you become. The more you grow in virtue, the more you grow in grace, the more human you become. We started off in life with a fallen nature. We're not quite human. Okay, fundamentally, yes, but we're off with our emotions. Our emotions are imbalanced, our will is weak, our mind is clouded. That's not quite human. Okay? To be a saint is to be human. To be holy, to be whole, that's human. The more ignorance, the more error, the more sin, the less human we are. So don't buy into what our society is saying. Well, I'm just human. No, you're less than human. Okay, so the error that if I don't forgive, I'm more human, I'm more courageous, I'm stronger. No. You're more weak, you're more cowardly, you're less human. The more you love, the more human you are. And then another reason why people don't forgive is because of personal sin, original sin, and then you have these typical generic sins over here, okay? So personal sin, you got mortal sin, venial sin, and this, the greater the sin, the more often you do it, the more it's going to blind your intellect, weaken your will, and distort your emotions. It's going to be harder to see what is virtuous, what it takes to forgive, and how to do it. You know, what is forgiveness and how to do it? You're just going to get more and more blind. Okay, the more you sin. And then original sin, the inner consequences and outer consequences. Inner consequences, like I said, our intellect is clouded, our will is weak, our emotions are imbalanced, our body is prone to sickness. Okay, so we're already at a disadvantage when we come into the world. We're prone to these problems, okay? We come into the world with these problems. We tend to stick towards a cloudedness, a weak will, imbalanced emotions. We tend towards being more sick. All right, and so that weakens us. That makes it hard for us to forgive. And then there's the outer consequences. People who scandalize us, who are a bad example, people who don't forgive, they don't forgive us, they don't forgive others. People, that includes not just humans, but people that lead us into sin, the bad angels, okay? Luring us into temptation, get us to sin. And then the things on earth, material goods, money and things that give us pleasure, they can seduce, lure us, make it hard for us to be virtuous. Okay, this is all part of original sin. Okay, sinful thoughts. Oh, yeah. Rash thoughts, rash judgments, harsh judgments, exaggerated judgments, to exaggerate or to minimize. Instead of just seeing what is true, to distort the truth. Okay? Sins in our heart that involve the emotions, one would be envy. Whether you call it a sadness or anger or something else, it's malicious. It wants to harm the person, to hurt that person, to get revenge. A desire to get back, okay? Or sinful words, cussing, blaspheming, using God's name in vain, sinful deeds, the actions that break down reconciliation. It makes it hard to reconcile by what you do to that person. Okay, these are all reasons why people don't forgive. And it's good to be aware of that. You may be able to figure out why this person isn't forgiving. Maybe that person doesn't know. And you may want to ask them, are you not forgiving because of one of these things? Okay. Because you're in ignorance, you're in error, you're in sin already. Maybe you have a bad habit of not forgiving. Okay, any questions? Chris?
Can Christians go to confession?
Christians? You mean non-Catholics?
Yeah.
Okay, we're Christians. We're the first Christians. We're the original Christians. So don't make that division between you being non-Christian and them being Christian. You're Christian, they're saying they're Christian, you say, you know, what kind of Christian? Well, they only have a choice of three. They're not Catholic, they're probably not Orthodox, so the only kind of Christian they are is Protestant, okay? So I know this is not ecumenical, but that's what they are. You're Protestant, I'm Catholic. What we both have in common is that we're Christian. Okay? Don't fall into their trap, because it's making it sound like you're not Christian. But you're more Christian than they are, because you have the fullness of truth, you have the fullness of grace. They do not. They're missing some truth, they're missing some grace. They don't have all the sacraments. Okay, so they're lacking in what it takes to be Christian. Okay, anything else? Very good class. Okay, very good class, especially this front row. Let's stand in front. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.